difficulties. This sudden intrusion into my most intimate thoughts were utterly inexplicable. He wheeled around upon his stool, with a steaming test tube in his hand and a gleam of amusement in his deep-set eyes. How on earth did you know that?
Now, Watson, confess yourself utterly taken aback.
Oh, I am.
I ought to make you sign a paper to that effect.
Sign a paper? Why?
Because in 5 minutes you will say that it is all so absurdly simple.
Oh, I am sure that I shall say nothing of the kind.
You see, my dear Watson, it is not really difficult to construct a series of inferences, each dependent upon its predecessor and each simple in itself. If, after doing so, one simply knocks out all the central inferences and presents one's audience with the starting point and the conclusion, one may produce a startling, though possibly a meretricious effect. Now, it was not really difficult, by an inspection of the groove between your left forefinger and thumb, to feel sure that you did not propose to invest your small capital in the goldfields.
I see no connection.
Very likely not, but I can quickly show you a close connection. Here are the missing links of the very simple chain, my dear Watson. One, you had chalk between your left finger and thumb when you returned from the club last night. Two, you put chalk there when you played billiards to steady the cue. Three, you never play billiards except with Thurston. Four, you told me 4 weeks ago that Thurston had an option on some South African property which would expire in a month and which he desired you to share with him. Five, your checkbook is locked in my drawer and you have not asked for the key. Therefore, you do not propose to invest your money in this manner.
Absurdly simple.
Quite so. Every problem becomes very childish once it is explained to you. Here is an unexplained one. See what you can make of that, friend Watson.
He tossed a sheet of paper upon the table and turned once more to his chemical analysis. I looked with amazement at the absurd hieroglyphics upon the paper. Why, Holmes, it's a child's drawing.
Oh, that's your idea.
What else should it be?
That is what Mr. Hilton Cubitt of Ridlingthorpe Manor, Norfolk, is very anxious to know. This little conundrum came by the first post, and he was to follow by the next train. There's a ring at the bell, Watson. I should not be very much surprised if this were he.
A heavy step was heard upon the stairs. An instant later, there entered a tall, ruddy, clean-shaven gentleman, whose clear eyes and florid cheeks told of a life led far from the fogs of Baker Street. He seemed to bring a whiff of his strong, fresh, bracing East Coast air with him as he entered. Having shaken hands with each of us, he was about to sit down when his eyes rested upon the paper with the curious markings, which I had just examined and left upon the table.
Well, Mr. Holmes, what do you make of these? They told me that you were very fond of queer mysteries, and I don't think you can find a queerer one than that. I took the liberty of sending the paper on ahead so that you might have time to study it before I came.
It is certainly a rather curious production. At first sight, it would appear to be some childish prank. It consists of a number of absurd little figures dancing across the paper on which they are drawn. Why should you attribute any importance to so grotesque an object?
I never should, Mr. Holmes. But you see, my wife does. In fact, it is frightening her to death, and it is for that reason that I want to sift the matter to the bottom.
Holmes held up the paper so that the sunlight shone full upon it. It was a page torn from a notebook. Markings were done in pencil. 15 figures, stick men from a child's mind prancing across the page. Dancing men, some holding flags of some sort. Holmes examined them for some time, and then, folding it up carefully, he placed it in his pocketbook.
This promises to be a most interesting and unusual case. You gave me a few particulars in your letter, Mr. Hilton Cubitt, but I should be very much obliged if you would kindly go over it all again for the benefit of my friend, Dr. Watson,
well,
here.
I'm not much of a storyteller, Mr. Holmes. If you'll just ask me anything that I don't make clear, I'll begin at the time of my marriage last year. But I want to say, first of all, that though I'm not a rich man, my people have been at Ridlingthorpe for a matter of 5 centuries, and there is no better-known family in the county of Norfolk. Last year it was that I came up to London for the Jubilee, and I stopped at a boarding-house in Russell Square because Parker, that's the vicar of our parish, was staying in it. And there was an American young lady there. Lipton was her name. Elsie Lipton. In some way we became friends, and till before my month was up, I was as much in love as a man could be, Mr. Holmes. We were quietly married at a registry office, and we returned to Norfolk a happily wedded couple. You'll think it very mad, Mr. Holmes, that a man of a good old family should marry a wife in this fashion, knowing nothing of her past or of her people.